Well, amen. Well, thank you for having us today. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come and present the ministry that we are setting off to do. And for those of you that haven't met us yet or don't know who we are, my name is Josh Smith, and then I have my wife, Sarah, was playing the piano this morning. And then we have two of our daughters in service. Matea is our oldest, and then my wife's holding Bella. And we have a third daughter, Gwyneth. She's 8 months old, and she's down in the nursery sleeping, and so she's down there. And we just want to thank you for allowing us to come through and be here and be with you guys today. And so I'm going to let our video go first, and then after our video plays, I'll take questions if there are any. I'd be happy to answer those if I could clear any facts up that are maybe not clear, or if you have a question about the area, I'd be happy to answer those. And so we'll do that, and then Sarah will sing a special, and we'll have the message after that. But I'll take questions afterwards, so if you think of something along the way, please let me know, and I'd be happy to answer that after our video plays.
Hello, we are the Sixth Church Branch of West Kelowna, the Richmond County. My name is Josh, and I was born and raised. I had the privilege of being raised in Richmond, Kelowna. I was saved January 26, 1996, one week when I was baptized on the following Sunday in the morning. During my teen years, I began to see my hope for God. You may hear it in my brother, and you may see it in one of your life. While I was not a college, I called him, not only was my child in the but also the original gospel and the time of the movement of the church. After completing my studies and receiving my degree in church ministry, I moved to Kelowna, Richmond. I have served people at the church for 7 months, while serving the peoples, I have continued to pray about the Lord's will and the salvation of my family, never forgetting God's law of church.
My family was reached with the gospel through the ministry of Beaver Valley Baptist Church, and I found that the Genesis in her deep. I was saved around the age of 11 after hearing about salvation in my Sunday school class. My family camp held in my church, I received assurance of my salvation and was baptized that night in the lake, July 29, 1999. I surrendered my life to God the very next day to do whatever He would have me to do. After high school, I completed 4 years of Bible Institute under the direction of Pastor Tom Grant. I received a degree in Christian ministry from Butler Baptist College after completing the courses in my local church. Josh and I met at the annual preacher conference hosted by my home church. Through counsel of both our pastors, we courted for a time and were married on December 26, 2009. After marriage, I moved to Kelowna with Josh and have been invited by the ministry of people Baptist. Our first year of marriage, Josh applied for and was granted permanent residency in Canada. We have been blessed with three beautiful girls, Matea, Bella, and Gwyneth. We desire our family for the Lord to use us wherever we are.
Hello, my name is Tom Seth. It is with excitement and wholehearted joy that I introduce and recommend you to Joshua and Sarah Smith. They are following the Lord's leading with their pastor's blessing at Climate Church in the West Kelowna Church. I have known Joshua for several years and Sarah for most of their life. I had the privilege of performing their marriage ceremony while pastor of Beaver Valley Baptist Church in Montreal, BC, Canada. During my 25 years in Canada, I have not been more dedicated to ministry as a student. I have observed Joshua during their courtship and his behavior from the two years of pastor to the people of Baptist Church of Kelowna, called Joshua. He has shown himself worthy of his namesake Joshua in the service. He being both a servant to a pastor and a future leader, as Joshua was known. Joshua is doctrinally sound and approved, he is not an officer. He has the drive of an evangelist and the heart of a pastor. All quality of gifts is needed in a church plan. That's how it is known. Sarah is a devoted wife, mother of three, and helper. She has a heart for souls and is a keeper at home. I had the privilege to see her complete the 4-year Bible program at Beaver Valley Bible Baptist Institute. She is also sound in doctrine and an evidence of this health in her everyday walk with the Lord. I consider it a blessing to know her. As I need for the master.
Well, very important. We have groups, structure, and a team to say, and we are very close. We go out to certain areas of ministry, and we do the place to certain units, organizing several special events. We teach Bible school, music ministry, and worship. While the work has been done, we enjoy having to serve right alongside with us in the process. We are anxiously looking forward to planning the plan of the Lord's Church and what's going to happen.
Pensacola is a needy area that will come out of the valley. There is no independent, fundamental Baptist church in that moment. The closest of our home church, Cable Baptist, on the other side of Lake Okanagan, about a 20-minute drive from this moment. As far as we know, there is no gospel preaching church actively trying to reach that moment. West Kelowna had a population of just over 30,000 souls when the last census was taken in 2005. By 2016, it is projected that there will be over 40,000 souls living in West Kelowna, including the West Bank First Nation land.
West Kelowna has been growing at a rate of about 2.7% on average annually over the last 15 years. Growth is not yet to slow down, but rather increase over time. The need is already large and will only grow greater. Our goal is to plan an autonomous growth of the Western Baptist Church. Our main goal will be to evangelize us to one with the gospel, reward our soul money, renew the outreaches, and by utilizing any avenue God will allow for us to give the gospel to those in this community. Further, we will strive to see converts baptized and discipled. This will be accomplished through both one-on-one times and through spiritual development, teaching, and preaching.
I just wanted to first of all say thank you for having this ministry to the church for allowing me to share the word more or less involved. When I came to pastor here, I remember 2010, it was Josh Sarah, who was here, who was involved in ministry. And we were very helpful, as I said, when this pastor was helping to continue doing the way things the way they've done for some matters, as well as making changes in various matters. And we're always very supportive and very willing to follow. When I came, Pastor Gable had been there for a number of years, and I've already sent a few missionaries to do this.
Please pray for us that we see God in my neighbor. Please pray for us to travel, should and lead us home. Once we're able to get there, please pray for God to work in hearts and give us wisdom, grace, and strength to hear the gospel to many people. We'd be honored if we pray and ask God that we might have you to do to help in the face of God's church and rest among the Christian people.
Thank you. And I apologize for some of that being cut off from the end there. I must have got the wrong setting on my projector. Just getting used to everything. This is our third church to be in, so my apologies for that. But I would just ask you to pray for us as we go to West Kelowna. West Kelowna right now is at just over 32,000 people, and no gospel preaching church there. Through the years, People's Baptist Church has tried to reach out over the lake. We've ran a bus route into West Kelowna. We've had families that have lived over there. And through the years, through 20 years of ministry, we've had probably about 12 families that we've reached in West Kelowna. But none of them have ever developed into faithfully attending church. The bridge, there's one way over the lake. There's a 5-lane bridge, 3 lanes going out of Kelowna, 2 lanes coming in. And it's just a mental barrier to people coming into Kelowna. They commute it 5 days a week for work. They don't want to do it another day for church. And I know for some of you, it might seem like a small thing, 25-minute, 30-minute drive to church. But it's a mental mindset. And I do believe that God commands us to take the gospel to people. And so our goal and our desire is to plant an autonomous church in West Kelowna that would see the gospel planted there. And then we've selected the name Faith Store Baptist Church. You don't need to turn there. I'm not going to preach out of this passage. But Acts 14 and verse number 26, the Bible says, speaking of Paul and Barnabas, says, "And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." And we've picked the name Faith Store Baptist Church by prayer and consideration, talking to my pastor, because as my pastor mentioned, it's our desire to see other churches planted. It's our desire to see other laborers go out into the harvest and missionaries be sent out. And so our desire is to go and plant a church that we would see other people reached and discipled, baptized, and added to the church, but not just to stay in West Kelowna, not just to build a big church there, but our desire is that we'd see other laborers that would be mentored, that would go out and do the same thing. We'd like to see missionaries sent out to other countries. We'd like to see other people sent across Canada, British Columbia. But specifically, we're praying and asking God that he'd allow us to see other people raised up that would go and plant other churches that are like-minded. If you are familiar with the Okanagan Valley, when you cross the Lake Okanagan, you come into West Kelowna, and then you come to a highway intersection. Highway 97 heads south, and Highway 97C is what they call the Okanagan Connector, which takes you over the mountains into the lower mainland. But if you continue on Highway 97 south, you have about an hour and a half drive before you get to the U.S. border. And all the way down that corridor, there's cities that don't have any churches that are preaching the gospel. They have the cults are there. They have other denominations, other religions there, but no churches that are actively taking the gospel to those communities. Penticton's a town of about 40,000, I believe, and there's no Baptist church there. There's no church there preaching the gospel. There's other towns of 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 apiece. All the way down through there, there's probably about 8 communities. And our goal is to see that eventually, as God would allow us, we've selected a faith store because it's kind of West Kelowna's the doorway to that southern half of the valley, and our desire is to see other people raised that would go and would allow us to reach down into the southern part of the Okanagan Valley and see other churches planted, see a ministry started, and see the valley reached with the gospel. And so we just ask you to pray for us as we go. Back on the table, I just want to mention a few things so I don't forget to mention them. We do have a stack of prayer cards there. I'd ask if you'd each just take one of those, and if you would put it somewhere, put it in your Bible, or put it on your fridge, or wherever it is you might put it, and you think of us, and you'd pray for us, we'd appreciate it. Specifically, if you'd pray for us in the next 14 months as we travel around Canada, and we'll get down into the U.S. some next summer, Lord willing. And just pray for us for safety as we go. Pray that we'd be able to raise the support we need. and that God would provide and meet our needs there. And then October 2016 is the target date. We, Lord willing, we'd like to be in West Kelowna and be done with deputation and be there to start the church and have Get Acquainted meeting. Some of you, I think, are familiar with that. And Brother Holloway, they had those here when the church was started here. And have those and then launch the church service and then begin regular meetings. And so if you just pray for us, we'd appreciate that. And back on the table also, there's a few things there. There's our display board with some pictures and some information. But then on either side of the board, on the left side, there's a placard there telling you about a project we have that we're praying about. And it's our goal to send a John and Romans. There's a picture of, not necessarily the one we'll use, but a picture of one in the video presentation. And if you're not familiar with what that is, it's just a portion of Scripture. It's just the book of John and Romans collated into a little booklet for people. And it's our goal to mail that to every house in, on the west side of the lake. West Kelowna, some of the area reaching up the lakeside there, and then even into an area called Peachland, which is a little bit farther west. And our goal is to raise the money for that. And so there's some information about that back there. It costs about 35 cents to produce one with a cover that tells people about the new church and then to mail it directly to their house. And so that's back there, and that's kind of a special a goal we have. And so I just ask you to take some time to look at that and pray with it with us for sure. But then also if you'd consider maybe giving towards seeing that accomplished. We'd appreciate that. And then also on the right-hand side, there's a placard telling you about a possible building. We've talked to the people that own it. It's owned by the Boys and Girls Club in West Kelowna, and it's a triple-wide modular that would be ideal for a church to start in. Another church started in it about 6 or 7 years ago, a Pentecostal church, and they've outgrown it, and they've moved on, and it's sat empty now for about 2.5 years. And so it's there, and they want us to rent it. And so we just ask you the information there. I won't give you all the details. If you'd stop by and look at that, and if you just pray, there's really nothing I don't think anybody can do to help us with that, but if you just pray and ask God to give direction, and there's a couple of barriers that need to be overcome and a few details to work out, but if you'd pray with us about that, we would really appreciate that. And so that's back on our table after service. We'll be back there. If you have anything you'd like to ask or anything we could do for you, please stop by and see us and pick up a prayer card, and we'd appreciate that. And before I get to the message, I guess, is there any questions from the video? Anything that wasn't clear or anything I could answer for you? Anything at all? No questions? Okay. I guess they're doing a good job presenting it. So thank you again for taking the time to look at that with me. And I guess before I get to the message, Sarah's going to come and she's going to sing at the piano for us before the message this morning.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 is where we're going to be this morning. And as you're finding your place there, one last thing I forgot to mention. Back on our table, there's a page there that has a place to sign up. If you'd like to receive an email update as we travel and as we get closer to the date of starting the church, you can put your just place there for your name and your email address. And we're not going to email out every day or anything like that. Probably once a week, maybe. Probably two or three times a month. And just to kind of let people know how we're doing, where we're at, what we're doing, how our support is coming in, and then as we get a little closer, the details of when we'll be starting. And so if you'd like to receive those, you can sign up back there on that page and just put your name and your email address down, and we'll get you on our list, and we'll look forward to keeping you updated as we go. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 this morning, if you would, with me. And verse number 1, we'll begin reading. The Bible says there, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one said, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." If you would pray with me this morning. Dear Lord, I love you and I thank you for the privilege to stand behind this pulpit this morning and to open the Holy Scriptures. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me as I present the message this morning. I pray that you would use me, that you would speak through me. Pray, Lord, you would set aside my agenda and my will, and Lord, that you would just use me to bring forth the truth that you have for us here today. I pray that you would speak to each person in the congregation, from the youngest to the oldest, Lord, that each of us would receive the truth that you have. And as we do, Lord, I pray that we would be obedient to that truth, and that, Lord, we would apply it to our lives. And Lord, that we would leave here people that are hopefully walking closer to you, loving you more, obedient to you as you direct us in our life. Lord, we pray that you'd guide and direct us, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We read in this portion of Scripture, Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, and he is addressing some issues and some problems, and he comes down and he begins to talk to them about some, said, well, Paul's the one that led me to the Lord, and Apollos is the one that led me to the Lord, and there was some bickering and some fighting going on, and I'm not here to focus on that this morning. I want us to see that we come down to verse number 9. It says, "For we are laborers together with God." As my family and I come here today, really what we're coming here to do is to ask you to be laborers together with us. We're coming here to present the need of a needy city and to show you the vision for planting a church in West Kelowna. And really, we're coming to ask you to come beside us and to labor with us. And some ways that can be done, obviously, is number one, and I believe the most important, is through prayer. And we'd ask you to pray for us. If you could do nothing else for the Smith family, if you could just pray for us, as you would think about us, pray for West Kelowna, Faith Store Baptist Church, we'd appreciate that. Beyond praying, there's other ways you could participate. As we get a little closer in October, I know that sometimes churches look for missions trips and different opportunities. There might be some that would be inclined to maybe make the trip and come to West Kelowna and help knock on some doors or help with some Get Acquainted meetings or be there. And that's a way that you could participate. And then obviously, there's as we think of missions, the way you could participate is financially. We do need support, and we're asking the Lord to help us financially to be able to go and see a church started. And so those are some ways that we're coming and we're asking churches to labor with us. But I want us to consider in the Scriptures there, it talks about two types of laborers. It talks about Paul and Apollos, and he says that one planted and one watered. And it talks about laboring, it talks about working, and he comes down there in verse number 5, he says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." And God desires for us to be laborers. He's looking for people to accomplish the task of taking the gospel to a lost and dying world. Whether it's in West Kelowna, whether it's in Saskatchewan, whether it's in some other part of Canada, North America, or even around the world to a foreign country, God's looking for people that would labor for Him. If you look up the word laborer in a Webster's 1828 dictionary, you come up with this as a definition. It says, one who labors in a toilsome occupation. A man who does work that requires little skill as distinguished from an artist. God's not looking for people that are talented, although He can use the talented. God's not looking for people that are well-educated, although He can use the well-educated. God's looking for people that'll just work hard at the task that He's given them. And as we consider the laborer, as we consider verse number 9 there again, it says we are laborers together with God. As we consider a laborer for Christ, I want us today to consider three characteristics about a laborer for Christ. The first one I want us to consider is the fact of the laborer's purpose. What is the purpose of a person that labors for Christ? I believe we see it in verse number 5. We've already read it a couple times. It says, who is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed. The laborer's purpose this morning, I give us from the Scriptures, is the fact of soul winning. It's taking the gospel to people that had not heard, or maybe people that have heard, talks about watering and planting. Maybe someone that's heard the gospel, you can go and give a word of testimony or give an encouragement, give a scripture, and help that gospel to grow in their life so they come to a place of understanding of their need. The laborer's purpose, I believe we would all agree, is that of soul winning. And we can go over to, let's go over to the book of Luke. We'll look at a couple verses there. Luke chapter number 19. As we consider the laborer's purpose, I'd like us to consider our commander's purpose. Because we are talking about being laborers for Christ. We're talking about working together for the cause of Christ. And as we consider what is our purpose in that, I think we can go back and look at Christ Himself while He was on earth and look at His purpose. Luke chapter number 19 and verse number 10, we see there Christ Himself tells us, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Over in chapter number 22, you're close by there, chapter number 22 and verse number 42. Again, Christ says there, saying, "Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." Christ's purpose when He was here on earth was to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, whatever the will of God the Father is, He said, that's what I want to do. Not my will, but Father, Your will be done. As we consider our purpose this morning as laborers for Christ, I believe we ought to say our purpose is soul winning. God, my purpose tomorrow as I wake up, as it's Monday morning, ought not to be I have a list of things to do, or I have a list of places that I have to go to, or I have these things that have to be done, but God, what is Your purpose for my day? Now I know many times God's purpose for our day is going to include doing the list of things that need to be done and going and running those errands and doing those things. But while we're doing that, God, would You allow me to fulfill my purpose of being Your laborer and be a witness? Would You allow me to give a testimony, to give a word of encouragement, to pass out a gospel tract as I meet people? The commander's purpose, God, Christ Himself said, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost." We won't take time this morning to go there, but over in Matthew 28, we're probably familiar with the Scriptures, the Great Commission. Christ proclaims to us the Great Commission. He says, here's my purpose, but He also proclaims, He says, here's how we're going to accomplish this. And He says, I want you to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He says, here's how we're going to do it. You're going to go and you're going to teach people. You're going to tell them about the gospel. And as people come to a saving knowledge and understanding of Christ as their Savior, you're going to see them baptized and you're going to teach them again. We would use the word disciple. And as we go to West Kelowna, we'd ask you to pray for us that we'd be able to see that exact pattern laid out. That we'd be able to go and see people saved. We'd be able to reach them with the gospel. But it wouldn't just be we'd see people saved, but we'd be able to go further and we'd be able to see them baptized and discipled. And we'd be able to see not just workers raised up in West Kelowna, but we'd be able to see people raised up that would say, I'll go and I'll take the gospel to maybe another country, maybe another part of Canada, or maybe even we're praying specifically that God would take the gospel down the Okanagan Valley. We see the laborer's purpose this morning, it's that of soul winning. that Christ himself commanded us. He said, my purpose is to seek and to save that which is lost. He proclaimed it to us. He said, go ye therefore into all the world and teach the gospel. We're supposed to go and take the gospel to a lost and dying world. But then secondly this morning, not only do we see the laborer's purpose, but I'd like us to see secondly the prayer for laborers. The prayer for laborers. You're in the book of Luke. Go to Luke chapter number 10 if you would. Luke chapter number 10. And verse number 2, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. It says there, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Verse number 2 says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. We see also, we won't go there, but Matthew chapter 9, verses number 37 and 38, we see a parallel passage of this, and Christ gives the same exoneration there. He says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I'd ask you today not only to pray for my family as we go, not only to pray for your missionaries that you support as they go into other parts of the world, other parts of the country, but we need to be praying every day. I believe we need to be praying, asking God, would you raise up laborers? Would you raise up other people that would come and that would come to our church, that would go to other churches we know, that would be reached through ministries, that would be able to be taught and discipled, that they would be laborers for you, God. Laborers for Christ. We see the purpose of a laborer, and then we see the prayer for laborers, and then thirdly this morning I'd like us to consider the prerequisite of a laborer. Because we've talked about being a laborer for Christ. Working for Christ. Working for the sake of the gospel. And I believe we can very simply say the purpose of a laborer is that of soul when he is taking the gospel to other people. I don't know about you today, how you've come to know Christ as your Savior, if you're saved today, but I can think back in my life, and I can think back to even before I was born, God began a work in my family when my oldest siblings were just 3 and 4 years old. A 13-year-old teenager, young boy, came by and knocked on the door of my family's home and invited, he was looking for boys and girls to ride a bus to go to Sunday school. And just a few weeks prior to that, my mom and dad were talking about, well, we have children, and they weren't saved, they weren't religious by any means, but they had been in church some as they were younger, and they said, you know, we've probably got kids now, we should probably get them to church. They just knew going to church was a good thing, but they didn't know what church or anything like that. And a 13-year-old boy came by and knocked on the door looking for boys and girls to go to Sunday school. Long story short, the kids wanted to go on the bus, and mom and dad weren't comfortable sending them, so mom rode the bus with them, dad drove in later for the second service, and they sat there and they heard the gospel presented to them. They left that Sunday not making a decision, but they lived that whole week in fear of dying and spending an eternity in hell. They came back the next Sunday, and they didn't really pay attention to the songs that were sung. They didn't really pay attention to the message that was preached. They just came, and they waited for the invitation, because they didn't know that you could get saved outside of church. They didn't know that you could have called the pastor and taken care of it on a Tuesday or Wednesday. They waited till Sunday. They came to the invitation. Dad didn't know that mom came. They both came up. Different workers talked to them. And that day, my mom and dad accepted Christ as their Savior. And they began to raise us in a Christian home. By the time I came around and was born, church was very much a part of our life. But we need to pray for laborers. We need to pray that there will be people like a 13-year-old boy that would go and would just faithfully look for ways to bring boys and girls to Sunday school. We need to pray that those laborers be raised up. But as we consider the laborer, I want us to consider the prerequisite of a laborer, and it's that of salvation. Because you can't truly labor for God, you can't truly labor for Christ until you know Him as your Savior. Verses we're familiar with, let's turn there actually, Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. And verse number 22, the Bible says there, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't know all of you here today personally, but the Bible tells us that there has to be a time in our life where we know Christ was our Savior. There has to be a time and point in our life where we turned, we repented from doing things our way, we repented from our sin, and we turned to God in His way. We accepted the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary, and that we would call the day of our salvation. The Bible tells here, it says there in verse number 22, it says, being now made free from sin, speaking of that salvation, it says, and become servants to God. When we become saved, God doesn't take us and put us in bondage and make us serve Him, but God desires for us to choose to become a servant. And today, my friend, if you are saved, you are supposed to be a servant of Jesus Christ. You're supposed to be a laborer for the cause of Christ. If you're sitting here today and there's never been a time of salvation in your life, then you can try, but you can't truly be a laborer for Christ because you don't truly know the Master. I was saved, or I professed to be saved, at a young age. 4 or 5 years old, I went forward in a junior church service in my church. I talked to a worker. To this day, I couldn't tell you what we talked about. I could have gotten in trouble for being bad in class. I don't know. But for many years, I held that point in time as my salvation. I couldn't tell you, even to this day, I couldn't tell you if I talked to a male or a female worker. I just know I talked to somebody, and for a long time, I held to that. For 7 years, I held to that place in time as my salvation. But I knew that at that time, I didn't trust Christ as my Savior. I didn't turn from my way to His way. It wasn't anything significant that happened. I got baptized. I could have told people the Romans Road. I could have told people how to get saved. But I wasn't a laborer for Christ because I didn't know Christ. But I rejoice that on January 26, 1996, as an 11-year-old boy, that I did get saved. My mother came down to my room and she showed me from the scriptures verses that most of them I could quote to her. And we went through and we explained and we answered some questions. And that night, I enlisted in the cause of Christ. I got saved. And from that time forward, I wish I could say I've always strived to serve God and please God, but I haven't. But I challenge you today, no matter where you are in the Christian walk, if you know Christ as your Savior, I challenge you to consider your labor for Him. Are you truly laboring for Him? Are you praying for more laborers to come? Are you truly desiring to be used of God to witness and to be a witness for His sake and to pass out tracts and to be a testimony? My desire, and I hope your desire, is that we could all be like Paul. As he came down to the end of life in 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. As we consider being a laborer for Christ this morning, if life were to end right now, could you honestly say, I finished my course. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've labored for Christ the way that He desired for me to labor. Laborers for Christ. Would you join us and labor with us? And I know that not every church we go to will necessarily be able to financially support us, but I do know that every Christian we talk to and tell about the ministry, that they can pray for us. I know that some may be able to come and participate in the work there and help out. And I know that others may be able to financially give. But I want you just to consider laboring not only with us in West Kelowna, but would you consider laboring with us in the cause of Christ here in your hometown? Would you consider your work and your labor for the cause of Christ? I want to just finish with 3 questions this morning. Number one, are you truly a laborer for Christ? And by that I'm asking, are you saved? Do you know there's been a time in your life where you've accepted Christ as your Savior? If you haven't, you can't truly labor for Him. Number two, are you willing to be a laborer? You know you're saved, but are you willing to truly labor for the cause of Christ and say, Lord, I'll serve You no matter what that means. No matter the cost, no matter if it means I have to go, no matter if it means I have to change my job or change my location that I live in, are you willing to fulfill that? And then number three, I just want to ask you this morning, are you fulfilling the purpose of a laborer? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you witnessing every chance you can get? Are you passing out tracts? Do you talk to neighbors and loved ones and those in the community that you come across? As you're running the list of things that have to be done, but are you saying, God, what's Your will? What do You want done today? Who could I talk to? Who could I be a witness to? A laborer for Christ. I just want you to consider today laboring together with us, not only abroad, but here, and fulfilling that purpose. And would you pray for us as we go, that we would fulfill that purpose in West Kelowna, that every day we'd be able to witness and give the gospel, and that we would see some that would be saved. And as we go, would you pray that other laborers would be raised up, that we'd be able to, that'd be able to disciple them and send them out, that they'd be able to take the gospel to other places also. If you would, pray with me. Dear Lord, I do love you and I thank you for your goodness and thank you for your grace. And Lord, I thank you for this church here that is shining bright and taking the gospel here. I pray, Lord, that you would just help them. I pray, Lord, that you'd meet the needs here, that you'd be with Pastor Holloway as he leads and as he guides. And Lord, I pray that as they're faithful to you here, I do pray that laborers would be raised up here that would go forward. And Lord, I do pray that as we head to West Kelowna, Lord, I pray that you would bless the work there and that you would, Lord, use us to fulfill the Great Commission there. That, Lord, we would see souls saved and lives changed. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for the beautiful morning you've given us to come. We thank you for a country that we can live in freely and, Lord, to come and worship you. And, Lord, that we can open our Bibles and not have fear of persecution. Lord, we just pray that you would bless this church here. Lord, I pray you would use them. That, Lord, as they go forward for you, that you would bless them and they would see souls saved and lives changed. And, Lord, we just love you and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Pastor, if you'd come and close the service as you see fit.
Josh, if you all stand with me, you turn to hymn number 432. And as always, the Lord spoke in your heart through the message, and you needed someone to talk to, either myself or Josh is available after the service. So, the number is number 432.